Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Chapter 6. The Journey from Platform 9 and 3 Quarters. Harry's last month with the Dursleys wasn't fun. True, Dudley was now so scared of Harry, he wouldn't stay in the same room, while Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vernon didn't shut Harry in his cupboard. I'm Vanessa Zoltan.
And I'm Casper Ter Kuile.
And this is Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
There's a photo in the bathroom of my parents' house on the first floor, which is one of many Christmas card photos, you know, the type of a happy family with beautiful children, and which gets sent out to everyone. And this one is of the six of us, and we're floating on kind of inflatable tubes on a beautiful river landscape. We were in France during summer holidays when the picture was taken, and the sun is shining, the water looks inviting, we're laughing, and looking at it, you might think, wow, this is such a happy scene. But what I really remember from that particular moment was just before the photo was taken, I was kind of lying or sitting in an inner tube. And as soon as I realized, oh, there's a photo going to be taken, I slid onto my front so I could hide my tummy, which I was getting self-conscious of. And it's my first real memory of being uncomfortable in my body and just feeling not quite at home in my own skin. And looking at the photo now, I kind of feel sorry for myself then, but I also feel a little bit sorry for myself now because this is still something that I grapple with. And I still have that expectation of my body to look different and feel different than how it does. So I set myself up in a way that only leads to frustration and sadness. And there's a quote I love by Anne Lamott, who's a wonderful writer, where she says, "Expectations are resentments under construction." With the idea that expectations kind of set us up for disappointment and for failure. And I really noticed that theme as we look at Harry and Draco and Ron and Hermione, as we meet so many new characters, all of whom have these expectations that they carry of themselves and the people who love them. And those expectations really go on to shape who they become.
I loved that Anne Lamott quote and that story, Casper, because it's fine, I think, to have expectations if you're aware of them and you're in control of them and you approve of them. So I expect myself to be an honest person and I want to live up to that. But, you know, I expect myself to be a size 2 is not a productive thing for me to expect of myself. So it's when to expect and when to accept. But before we really dive into this theme, which I think you so richly got us started on, let's do our 30-second recap. And Casper, I'm so proud of you. You tied me this week.
Thanks for all the votes, fans.
Thanks for all your pity.
They weren't pity votes. They were proud votes.
You literally begged for pity votes.
Keep giving me your pity votes.
Are you ready?
Yes, so ready.
On your mark, get set, Go.
Harry wakes up with the Dursleys and realizes that he's going to have to find a way to get to Hogwarts, and he's been given this ticket by Hagrid. So he asks Fern to give him a lift. They get a lift. Dursleys abandon him. He sees a family who are going through platform 9 3/4, and so he goes through it too. There on the train, he meets Fred, George, Ron, the Weasleys, Hermione. Draco tells him he should hang out with different kind of wizards. They see have cards. Then they arrive at Hogwarts. Hagrid takes them under, and they go through into the Hogwarts Great Hall, but not quite yet. But they go into the building.
That was really good.
That was a real improvement, but so much less, like, detail and interesting.
I actually think you did a great job of balancing detail but getting through. You didn't sound very composed, but...
We're working on that.
But that's not one of the rubrics.
Are you ready, Vanessa?
Casper, I'm always ready.
3, 2, 1, go!
It's time for Harry to head out to Hogwarts. He gets a ride from the Dursleys, who abandon him at platform 9. And he has a hard time getting through 9 3/4. The Weasleys help him through. He meets Ron. They take a train ride together. He meets Neville and Hermione. He meets Draco, Crabbe, and Goyle, who are terrible. And then there's like some weird class stuff between Harry and Ron. And then they pull in to Hogwarts and they're really excited.
Man, you make it sound like you were on purpose sounding relaxed.
Yeah, no, I was.
You really were.
I just think it's important to feel composed. Our theme this week, as you beautifully said, is expectations. And I saw expectation throughout this chapter, particularly, I mean, you really see it with Ron. The Weasleys enter the scene in force with all of their chatter and all of their joy and all of their neuroses. And I just love it. And immediately, I mean, the first conversation that Ron and Harry really have is Ron complaining about the burden of expectation.
Yeah, that's right. He says, "Everyone expects me to do as well as the others, but if I do, it's no big deal because they did it first." And you can tell that he's kind of in a, you know, he's obviously in a long line of kids, and Percy's a prefect and the other brothers in Romania and the other brothers with the bank. And, you know, what has he got left to achieve that hasn't already been achieved? But of course, the fact that they both are living with this pressure and this weight of expectation, that's really where their bond of friendship lies. You know, they both are struggling with that weight of expectation.
Oh, absolutely. Harry says, "Everybody's going to expect me to be a great wizard because apparently I beat Voldemort, but I don't know anything about being a wizard." And then Ron says, "Well, everybody's expecting me to be as great as my brothers, and I don't know that I can be." And they're bonding over the fact that they are scared that they're not going to be able to live up to these expectations.
Yes, exactly. And that's an equalizing force. When Hermione enters the carriage, she does not come in with those expectations. You know, those dentist parents are just thrilled there's a witch in the family. And her expectation is really coming from herself of, you know, "I'm very smart. I know what I'm doing. That's not real magic, Ron. That's a fake spell. Here's some real magic." So I think that particularly Hermione and Ron are really clashing. And I wonder if that has to do with the expectations that they feel from others. The other moment which was interesting was Scabbers. When Draco walks in with Crabbe and Goyle, they kind of barge into the train car. Scabbers jumps up to defend Ron and Harry in a moment of kind of real confrontation. And it's interesting because Scabbers usually is, you know, sleep, useless, fulfills all of those kind of tropes of what Ron fears about himself. And yet here, Scabbers jumps up to defend him, which in light of what we learn later in the story, makes it a particularly interesting moment and one I don't quite understand.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it later when we learn more about Scabbers. But what is interesting that I hadn't thought of until you said that is that it's a complete metaphor for Ron. Ron expects himself to be useless and not very magical. And then he sort of constantly surprises himself with how brave he is and that he does stand up in moments of tension. And so Scabbers in this moment is, I mean, he's a mini Ron. Casper, one of the places that I really saw expectation in this chapter was through Draco. So as you said, Scabbers defends Ron when Draco, Crabbe, and Goyle walk into the train car. I think it's just interesting that Draco leads the charge into Harry's train car. So Draco walks in and says, I've heard that Harry Potter is in this car. And first of all, there's just this expectation that he has of himself, which is that if there's someone important on the train, I clearly am to hold audience with this person. A lot of other people on the train have heard that Harry Potter is on the train. And Draco is the only one that's like, yes, come, I will speak to him. And then immediately we find out Draco has the expectation that Harry will want to hang out with him and that Harry will have the same values as him, that everybody must have the same values of bloodline and of fame and prestige are what matters. And it's, first of all, a beautiful moment. Harry has no real reason to resist that. I wondered in myself, if I were 11 and somebody who was posturing as the cool kid came to fetch me, if I would have gone with him rather than staying with Ron. But Harry really reveals something wonderful about himself, which is he can sense that Draco has values that he doesn't respect and he stays with Ron. But Draco just seems to be living out the parental expectations of him and what he was raised with and is immediately recreating that world for himself at Hogwarts.
Yeah, Draco is under such a heavy weight of the expectations of particularly his parents. You know, they're very clear later on in the books that they expect him to be very good academically, to not be afraid of anyone. You know, and this is the great tragedy of the entire role that Draco plays in the story, which really comes to a head in book six, but is that he is not the author of his actions, that Draco, more than anyone, really is held by the expectations of his parents, of who he should be. And Draco isn't alone in his reality being shaped by his expectation. It's a small point, but as Harry is walking around King's Cross and he goes up to, you know, someone who can help him find platform 9 3/4, the guy is supremely unhelpful and says, you know, in the end, the guard strode away muttering about time wasters. And here is a man who is employed to help people find their way around this big, busy train station. And here's an 11-year-old boy, clearly lost, clearly needing help, and he dismisses him as a time waster. He doesn't suggest, oh, there might be an 11 o'clock train going from St. Pancras, which is a train station right next door, and it's confusing. Some people get lost between the two. And I think here's an example of someone whose expectation is that people are going to waste his time and people are not smart to figure things out. And that's how he walks around life. You know, his expectations create his reality. And that's something I think that's really true for a bunch of characters in this chapter.
I just met a man. My phone shattered. I dropped it and my phone shattered. And I met a man who was helping me replace my phone. And he said that he thinks of himself as a social worker because people get so frustrated with this phone company and that, you know, they are worried about money and they come in so vulnerable, and that rather than seeing himself as a salesperson, he sees himself as a social worker. And then his boss came up and said, and he's the highest salesman in the office. You know, self-fulfilling prophecy stops at a certain point, but it was just a beautiful inverse of what you just explained.
I expect myself to be fallen in love with every day. How's that working out for you, Vanessa?
I fall in love with you every day.
Oh.
So I wonder what you're going to think about this. On page 112, in the last page of chapter 6, I'm going to just read this. "Heads down," yelled Hagrid as the first boats reached the cliff. They all bent their heads, and the little boats carried them through a curtain of ivy that hid a wide opening in the cliff face. So this is the first moment in which the students are seeing Hogwarts. And this just seems like a moment of reverence. I mean, obviously, the insinuation is that it's for their safety. It's Hagrid's job to drop off the first years. But he yells heads down as the boats reach the cliff. And as I imagine that, I just don't understand what it is that they have to duck from. Ivy would go all the way down. They need to move around it. And it just seems to me like the visual that I get is Hagrid saying, please join me in prayer. And like this group of students bowing their heads in reverence to Hogwarts. What do you think?
I think regardless of whether Hagrid wants them to feel reverence, just that image, and for the students, the experience of going through that nearly ritualistic kind of bow before entering Hogwarts, I think it has something to tell us about the role of practice and the role of repetition in forming our expectations. You know, every new generation of students that enters, their first engagement with this place is to honor it through that bowing of the head. And even if it's unsaid, even if it's unspoken, it forms us, you know, just like these everyday encounters that we all experience, they form us in small ways. And I wonder if this is something that, you know, those founders of Hogwarts all those years ago just built into the welcome to that place to start off with a reverential honoring of the students who've gone before.
I love that, because even if there is some thing, some bridge, something that might hit the kids' heads that I can't quite decipher from the actual text, the fact that you have to bow your head, that's a physical experience that you have. So, for example, when parents get down on their knees to tie a kid's shoe, they're doing it just to tie a kid's shoe. But the physical feeling of getting down on your knees to sort of become eye to eye with a kid and to serve a child, it's still experienced on your body as something different than just trying to rush your kid out the door or whatever it is. And so I think that sometimes you bow your head and you have a different experience than if you crouch down or whatever it is. And the fact that Hagrid just says heads down, he doesn't say duck, he doesn't say watch out, it's heads down, and everybody just does it. I think that regardless of the intention, the physical bodily experience of it is what matters sometimes.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So this week, one last time before we try something new next week, we're still going to do Lectio Divina, in which Casper is going to pick a random quote for us to analyze in our four steps. Casper, what is the quote?
This is towards the end of chapter 6, the journey from platform 9 3/4. He cleared his throat. Sunshine, daisies, butter mellow. I'll read it once again because it's a bit weird. He cleared his throat. Sunshine, daisies, butter mellow. Stage 1 asks us to figure out what's going on narratively. So what are these two sentences? What are they doing in the story?
So this is when Ron is trying out magic for the first time. He is trying to turn scabbers yellow. So at least there's something interesting about scabbers. And then he is reciting a spell that one of the twins, I don't remember if it's Fred or George, taught him to try to turn scabbers yellow. I love this quote. This is hilarious. Casper, what about step 2? What about this quote is allegorical, is symbolic to you of something else, something meaningful?
Sunshine, daisies, butter mellow. There's a kind of folky, pastoral, you know, the images of landscape. It's this kind of fresh butter from the fields. It's happy. In some ways, it has something to say about where we are within the stories. When we compare book 1 to book 6 and 7, my gosh, this feels like light, happy, easy, you know, sunshines, daisies, butter mellow compared to what we're going to experience. So I think in some ways, the incantation of magic that we're hearing here compared to the incantations of magic that we will hear later on, There's an innocence to it. How about you?
What I love about this is that it's, I think it shows the love of the Weasleys. This is a prank that one of the kids pulled on Ron. And yet it's all of these lovely things, and there's no risk of Ron actually getting hurt by this prank. So I hate pranks because I think that they're taking advantage of people's trust, right? It's like, oh, that person is so gullible. I'm like, okay, the synonym for gullible is trusting, and you just abuse their trust, and that's not nice. But you see, like, the kindness and to some extent the harmlessness in their humor, and I think that that speaks to the love of the Weasleys. So, yeah, that's what it brought up for me.
So let's think about the third layer, which is to think about how this passage speaks to our own experience. What does this remind you of in your own life?
I do think it reminds me of being teased by my brothers. Pranks and jokes aren't always about belittling or hurting the other person. Sometimes it's really just a sign of intimacy. And so, yeah, I'm just reminded of all the private jokes and the ways that friends can tease me that in no way feel belittling. And then also, how quickly somebody can offend me when they don't have the right to tease me and they tease me too soon. I get really offended. A lot of my friends call me Nessa. And when someone who I don't know calls me Nessa too soon, I'm like, you didn't earn that.
That's not allowed.
Right. So it speaks to me of a relationship and just built trust. What about you, Casper?
I love this image of Ron clearing his throat. You know, he doesn't have a cough. He's clearing his throat because it's this moment of like, now I'm going to do magic. And it reminds me of the moments when I'm like, now I'm going to do adult things like sign for a marriage certificate or hire an accountant or, you know, just these things. I'm like, oh God, I'm doing that. It's kind of fake it till you make it. There's just this sense of, this is something which I'm a little afraid to do. I don't know if it's going to work, but I've got to do it. So here we go. You know.
And I love that it implies that he's going to give it his all. And he's got to know he's risking looking like an idiot. Like Fred and George have been pranking him his whole life.
Which is so cute because he's trusting Harry to give it a go.
But also Neville and Hermione are there. And so I just wonder, like Hermione sort of makes him do it. But he feels comfortable enough that Harry will have his back or... Or, I mean, he's just been challenged by a girl. There's something really sweet and innocent and fun and complicated going on there. Step four. Okay, Casper, so step four of Lectio Divina. Do you mind reading the quote one more time for us, please?
He cleared his throat. Sunshine, daisies, buttermellow.
So what does that quote call you to?
I think what I'm called to is to really treasure innocence where it can be found. And I think especially of children, and you and I both share a beautiful little goddaughter, and she's still very, very young. But as she grows up, I hope that we'll be able to not kind of infect with cynicism, but really delight in innocence and say magic incantations and see little whiskers turning just a little hint of yellow, you know, as the boys do. So I think I want to, for the children where I have a protective or a guiding role in their lives to protect the innocence, not in a kind of the world is scary way, but to delight in the wonder of the magic of youth. How about you, Vanessa? What does it invite you to do?
So I'm about to turn 34 and I am single and dating. And the more that I date, the harder it gets to trust people, right? Because the harder it gets to trust that anything is going to work out. And I don't know if I necessarily want kids anymore, but I know that to a certain extent, I love my nuclear family that I grew up with, but I feel like I want and need a nuclear grown-up family for myself. And so that desire to find a person is a real, like, deep existential desire. And it's not out of loneliness. It's not out of sort of these pathetic things that we project onto women of a certain age, single women of a certain age. And so it's hard to stay optimistic in that. And so I'm just inspired by Ron that he has to have been disappointed by situation after situation with Fred and George. And yet he is going to try to do this and he is going to recite these optimistic words and he is going to do it in front of – it's a high-risk situation. He could tell Hermione, oh, bugger off or whatever British people say. But instead, he's like, nope, I'm going to try. And if I fail, I'll fail. And I just think that that's the only way that things will work out. And as hard as it is to sort of stay hopeful, I think that Ron can inspire me with his sunshine and daisies to stay optimistic in the face of that.
That's so lovely. I think that's beautiful, Vanessa.
So, Casper, now is the time in our podcast where we bless a character. And I'm really excited that we're in Hogwarts now. Like Harry, I'm really excited because there are all of these amazing women all of a sudden. So I'm going to offer my blessing this week for Mrs. Weasley. She just escorts Harry into this new world and has this abundance of love and wisdom and her level of detail of like making sure that this kid has this animal and feels rewarded for that and this kid has food and this kid is amazing. But then on top of that, when she hears about Harry, the first thing she says about him is protecting him. You know, Fred and George come out that they're really excited that they just met Harry Potter. And they're like, Mom, guess who we just met? Isn't that so cool? Do you think he remembers X, Y, and Z? And Mrs. Weasley immediately just nips it in the butt and says, the poor boy isn't something you goggle at in a zoo. You know, she is a poor woman with a million children, and she is just still has love to give. So I want to bless all of the women who just are bottomless pits of love. Casper, what about you? Who would you like to bless this week?
My blessing is for Hedwig. Maybe a little unconventional, but Hedwig acts as a sort of signpost in Harry's life. She's there for him to have conversations with. She's there as another living being who, even when Harry's on his own from other humans, is there as a kind of symbol and confirmation of his identity as a wizard. And so I think there's something in that which makes me want to think, well, what's the Hedwig in my life? What sign is there that, you know, is beyond conversation? I think it's important that she doesn't speak to him in human language, but is there as another loving affirmation of who he is in his fullest identity? So I guess that's an invitation as well as a blessing, but it's an opportunity for us to think about, you know, where is Hedwig showing up in our life as a place to affirm who we are and the choices we're making? You've been listening to Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. Please remember that we have an open application for a social media volunteer up on the website at harrypottersacredtext.com.
Next week, we're going to be reading Chapter 7, The Sorting Hat, through the theme of vulnerability. And we are going to be using an Ignatian spirituality practice rather than Lectio Divina. So we're excited for you to join us.
This episode was produced by Ariana Nettleman, myself, Casper Ter Kuile, and Vanessa Zoltan. A big thank you to those who have written in with feedback: Alex Friedman, Sam Matthews, Hannah Thomas, Simon Moss, Nick Moraitis, Guy Haywood, Anna Collins, and Maida Basu.
I would also like to thank Julia Argy, Bridget Goggins, and Amanda Morahone.
A big thanks to our Kickstarter of the week, Judith Gila-Linewall.
Our music was done by Ivan Pizzo and Nick Bull.
Thanks to Rebecca and Charlie Ledley, Lauren Taylor and Shane Bannon, and their Svelte Lab Rufus.
We'd like to thank the Harvard Communications Office
and the Humanist Hub
and our amazing Harry Potter and the Sacred Text reading group.
Okay, fine. Ariana's face just like slammed me down.
Can we just say to our listeners that our producer Ariana has the most expressive and passive-aggressive face?
You know when she doesn't like
something.
It's
actually not passive-aggressive.
It's just aggressive.
She has a full-on aggressive face. She can edit you with a twinkle.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.